your preaching game. Amen. Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 2. I'm going to use this as an illustration somewhere in the sermon, so don't be scared. It's an iPad mini. And I'm going to use that at the end, hopefully, and maybe Sunday night. And I got a message for Sunday morning. I don't know if it's going to be titled GPS or not, but it's got a lot to do with it. God really poured out a lot yesterday and today. Especially yesterday, I was up here at the office, and God was just, He just opened up a whole lot of stuff to me, and y'all will be getting that in the next couple of days. It's never going to be as good as when He first gave it to me, because for some reason, from getting the download here to here, sometimes it's hard. But I'm going to try to give you everything God's given me. I'm going to show you something tonight that I've never seen in the Scriptures. And I know that's, for some of y'all, it's like, no, right? But it's special to me. John chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. But I want to, at first, if you take notes, take them in this, because there's going to be some stuff in this you're going to need to hold on to. And if you don't have note-taking material tonight, go to flattop.org or .com. Flattopchurch.org, and listen to this message again. And take some notes then. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get in the Word of God? Y'all ready to drive this vehicle for the first time? First time I've ever preached. I've preached about Mary before, but this is the first time I've ever preached in this way. The third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Verse 5, His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's cool, ain't it? This is year 30 for Mary's ministry of Jesus. Have you ever heard it like that before? Year 30 of Mary's ministry of Jesus. Jesus' ministry lasted from 30 to 33. Mary's ministry of carrying Jesus lasted 33 years. That's pretty neat, ain't it? Say, golly, say, that's good. Because I was hoping y'all would just fall out on that one. Amen? No, that's not really the big point. But ain't that neat how sometimes we look at Jesus' ministry, but Mary's 30 years into this, and 30 years we're going to get to see a spotlight moment. How many of y'all have had spotlight moments in your Christianity? I have. I've had some real downs and ups too. Amen? I've had some real failures. I've had some real flops. I've had some real times where I wouldn't want somebody to see. I've messed up. I've said the wrong thing. I've acted the wrong way. But in my ministry time, in her ministry time, in this very time, if we scroll in real tight right here, we get to see her knock one out of the park. Boy, ain't that cool. 30 years and you finally get it. Somebody comes up to her and says, hey, they need wine for the wedding. She says, no problem. Jesus is here. Amen? And then as cool as it, she says, what do I have to do with thee? Woman, it's not my time. She says, whatever He does, whatever He says to do, you just do it. And man, automatically, man, we get to see Mary at her highest point, operating at the best. Man, I'm telling you, wow, what an awesome thing. But we have the whole Scriptures to look at, though. She had some ups and downs, right, throughout the time. And guess what? 3 years from now, this is going to be a vague memory. 3 years from now, she's going to watch her son be ripped apart at Calvary. I'm not here to discourage you. I'm here to tell you that ministry, because I believe this. I believe everybody that's saved has a calling on their life. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. I believe you either have accepted your calling and you're following Christ, or you haven't if you're born again. And if you're not born again, it's a simple thing. You come receive the salvation. You come and accept the free gift of salvation. It's an easy, simple thing. It's ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And He will be. Amen? And He'll change everything about you. Amen? He'll change the constitution of your mind. But if you've already done that, and I'm just going to preach like everybody's done that here tonight, it doesn't mean you are or you're not. I'm just preaching that way. You've been called to do something. You've got a task to carry out. And your task can be huge in man's eyes, or it can be small in man's eyes. It can never be seen by some people, or it could be seen by everybody. That's good, man. I'm trying to keep it together, brother. That's a big deal. Because guess what? The Bible says we are a body fit together. Fit jointly together. You know what? Some of our body parts are out on full display at all times. And other parts of our body that are more important never be seen. You hope they're never seen. Amen? Can I preach right there? You hope they're never seen. Is that correct? If your heart's being seen, something's wrong. Is that true? If you're laying in an emergency room and your heart's being exposed, guess what? Too much bacon. Amen? Too many trips by McDonald's. Amen? I love McDonald's. Everything there's got a Mick in front of it. Amen. Sorry. Can I get a Mick spoon and a fork? Amen. All right, but anyway. If your brain's being exposed, if somebody's looking at your brain, there's something wrong. But I'm going to be honest with you. Your mouth will never operate without your brain or without your heart. I know what I am. It's simple. It's easy. I am a mouth. You smile too much, sister. I'm just going to say, I'm going to mark that down. I'm going to hold that against you. All right, listen. I know what I am. So, but if I was to look at somebody in my life who I know is not a mouth, but is also an intricate part of ministry, why would I be upset with her if she doesn't do any of the things that I do? I just hope she just keeps on ticking away. Man, I hope nobody has to expose those parts. Amen? But I love this. We're in the Scriptures. Here's Mary, and she's really showing out, and she's doing it. Man, what a cool thing. She is just cool as a cucumber. Just do what He tells you to do. There is so much wisdom. There's so much Bible wisdom in that. It just blow you away. Just do whatever He says to do. You will live an amazing Christian life if you just do what Jesus tells you to do. Man, your life will be so much better. Your Christian walk will be amazing. Love it. You know where she did it at? This is the part where I didn't think anybody ever seen. I've never seen this. She did it at a wedding. Hey, no matter of fact, do me a real quick favor, one of you Bible scholars in here. Go in the Bible and show me where Mary's wedding. Tell me about it. Oh, yeah. It's not in there. She had a birth, right? She birthed Jesus. Somewhere along the way, her and Joseph got married. But here she is, 30 years into the ministry, blessing somebody else on something that she didn't get herself. Woohoo! Jesus came in, and He came in like a wrecking ball and destroyed it all. Amen? He did. Remember her and Joseph? They were going to get married. They had plans. She was espoused. She had plans. She had ideas. I bet when she was a little girl, she had thought, man, I can't wait till I get to there. But you know what? Jesus came in and said, no. But here she is, 30. Man, somebody better praise God right here because this is good. Sometime down the road, you will help somebody get stuff that you didn't get. You will bless people in a situation that you didn't get blessed in. And you'll be happy for them. That's when you'll know that you are passed from life unto death. When you love the brethren, when you see somebody get something, when you see somebody that's happy and content, and you didn't even get it. You didn't get it yourself. Man, because you know what? Because you knew God was working in every area of your life. And now that you're down here 30 years, you didn't need that. Amen? You didn't need that. I thought that was huge. I thought that was awesome. And I started thinking, wonder why Jesus chose her. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to move into a different area. It says, the first part was, we get to see her how she was today, but not how it was. So can I? And I'm while you're turning to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, I'll say this. Some people, you get to see a more mature product. Amen? A lot of times when new people come into the church, they get to see a more mature product of you. Amen? Now, they might come in and they're either not saved and they just get saved, or they've been saved just recently and they've joined the church. Maybe they don't even have a background in the church, but they see you. And when they talk to you, they say stuff like, hey, how long you been here? You say stuff like, well, my family was the Cornerstone members and we founded the church and then I grew up here and I've been saved, 30 years now, and I just love the Lord. And they're sitting there with eyes about this bit going, is there anybody else here? Can I talk to somebody that's on my level? Amen? Because it seems like you're at 400 levels above me. That's where you would do good and say, no, I'm not so far above you. I'm just like you. Amen? There was a day when I needed Jesus just as bad as you did, amen, to be saved. And I still need Him every single day, amen. Because when people come in here, they see a more polished you. They see something about you. They go, man, he's got it together. She's got it together. One, they do get to see the church product, amen. I mean, I say this church is kind of like a roller coaster, amen. Everybody looks good when they're getting on board, amen. Amen? But during the ride, up and down and all around, it could change. Amen? We all kind of know how to act coming in. We kind of clean up pretty good. But that don't mean anything. But we kind of project ourselves a little bit when we're at church in the house of God. We project ourselves. Guess what? Sometimes you need to let people know that, hey, that's not where you've always been. Amen? Sometimes you need to tell your testimony or your story of how you got there. Amen? How did I get so much? I'm not mature. I ain't got it all figured out, but I'm further along than I was. Amen? Ain't that good? Because people are walking in this church, and they'll look at you, and sometimes we can't act like, man, we got it all figured out. I'm going to tell you right now, I needed Jesus more this week than probably did when I first got saved. Amen? In some areas of my life. You? Hey, can I ask you a question? Is there anything you've been doing lately that you've already asked God to forgive you of and you said you weren't going to do it again? Ouch. That didn't cost nothing, Derek. That was free. That was just a bonus question. Remember when you told God, I ain't going to do that no more? And you did it again? Amen. Share that with some people that are just now starting out. Because sometimes they feel like, man, I'm just so rotten and I'm so terrible and I can't do no good. And how do I start? Where do I begin? And man, what does it look like being a Christian? You say, hey, it looks just like what you're looking at. Because sometimes I do dumb stuff still. Maybe not on the same scale, maybe not the same stuff, but I need Jesus today just like you do. Amen? There's no telling what we're going to go through. I was surprised at the end of 2016. If y'all know me, I do social media quite a bit. Amen? And I've seen a lot of people come on social media. Thank God 2016's over. I can't wait for 2017. 2016 was so bad. I cannot wait. We are going into a new year and things are going to get better. Well, it lasted about 2.5 weeks. Amen? 2017 stinks worse than 2016, amen? I can't wait for 2018 to get here. Amen? We don't know what we're going to run into. Mary, at this point, is standing. Have you ever been there? I have been there. I've preached some messages. I have seen God come down. I've seen souls saved. I've seen lives changed. I have felt the Holy Ghost. I have ran. I have shouted. I have preached in fields, streets, restaurants, nursing home, you name it. I've been there and done it and seen it. And praise God, I have turned right around and fell flat on my face. I've turned right around and had the enemy just rip my guts out. Amen? I've had days where I've shouted the glory and seen people come to an altar and get saved, and then that night get a phone call and say, one of your best friends have died. Amen? Mary, in this chapter we just read, she says, do whatever he tells you to do. And then she's wondering why in the world her son is getting beaten by beyond all recognition. Sitting at the foot of the cross, looking at her son, and them looking down and saying, John, behold thine mother. Mother, behold thine son. John, take care of her because I'm about to check out of here. Amen? I guarantee you she wasn't cool that day. It's like a spear going through her own soul. That's what the Bible says. She wasn't all that way, but I think she got picked for a reason. Y'all ready? Go to Luke chapter 1, 26. If you ain't found it by now, repent. In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Man, this is a great day, right? But I seen this part in there that really told me why. It speaks to why he picked Mary, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what matter of salutations this should be. She was troubled. She was worried. What was going on? Okay, I've been in ministry long enough now. People say, like, I want to hear a word from God. I want to hear from God. I want God to speak directly to me. You read the Bible? Amen? I had a good friend of mine, Ben Parrish, came here and he preached just a couple weeks ago, and he talked about a man who had heard directly from God. His name was Hosea. Is that correct? That was some good news, wasn't it? Go marry a prostitute. I don't want to get that message. Amen? I don't want to get that message. Amen? Don't want to get that word. Amen? Jeremiah, the weeping, they call him the weeping prophet. So you've been called to preach, Jeremiah. You're going to do great and wonderful work, Jeremiah. But here's the great stuff. All your preaching and all your teaching and all your ministering, guess how many people are going to be converted? Zero. Guess how many people are going to change their mind and turn to God during your reign and your ministry? Zero. Man, is that a good number for you? But God called me. Amen? God told me to eat His Word up, put it inside, and I'm going to preach it out. And guess who's going to be converted and who's going to change? Nobody. Amen? John the Baptist. I want to hear from God. I want to do great stuff. Amen? We want to get into ministry. Yeah, get into ministry. Baptizing people. But all of a sudden, at the end, you lose your head. Okay? Or have we set a precedent here from hearing God? Hearing from God. It's a great thing, but it can be a scary thing. Amen? It can be a scary thing. It can be an intimidating thing. She says, I'm worried. Man, I think God picked her on purpose because she knew better. She's like, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Let's talk about it like I did a minute ago. What will happen off the jump? She lost her husband. Not for long. But she lost her engagement. Amen? Did she lose her reputation? Hate to tell you this, but if you got one and you're going to get into full-time ministry, you're going to lose your reputation. People are going to say stuff about you. It's all right. It's okay. You didn't get saved for your reputation. You might want to write this one down. Some of y'all had a bad reputation before you got saved. And the ones you didn't, just get used to it. Amen? It's okay. You can take a hit, can't you, for God? You took some for yourself. That's one thing I think about. I took some for myself. They were earned. Amen? I can take some for God. I can take some for God. He didn't do this right. He didn't do that right. Y'all want my favorite? You want my favorite? I'll talk for about everybody up there ain't even listening. Here's my favorite. He thinks he's some kind of preacher. That's my favorite. That's my favorite. He thinks he's some kind of thinks he's some kind of, you know, that's like saying I think I'm some kind of mailman. If I work at the post office, I'm a mailman. Amen? I'm a preacher, believe it or not. Amen? Guess what? I didn't ask for it. God said you're going to be one. Listen, I'll just be honest with you. You'd be nuts if you signed up for this. You have to be called. You have to get anointed. You have to be... God has to put this on you. Because you know why? You know how I know if you don't? You'll burn out and quit. You'll think of every reason not to. And there are a lot of them. Praise God. It's similar to the male, man. You're getting your leg chewed off every day. And everybody's mad at you for delivering mail that belongs to them. Usually bills that they acquired and they have to pay, and it ain't got nothing to do with you, but they're mad at you because you delivered the mail. Woo! Oh! Only time they want to see you is when you're going to bring some good news. A check! You ever see anybody wait on a check? That'd be at the mailbox. You was here 11:05 yesterday. It's 11:08. Right? Because I'm waiting on something. You, electric bill come, you ain't standing out there. We won't talk about electric bills, will we? What? Right in the middle of a message. I'm in trouble now. I'm going to preach my way out of it. Amen. God wrecked her marriage. He wrecked her body. Amen? He wrecked her body. God will wreck your body. Her name, and God will wreck your body. Some of you ladies should have said amen right there. Help me out. I knew you was going to be here. James over like, yeah. Wreck your body. Amen? 9 months, she carried Jesus in her body, and it wrecked her body. Amen? Wrecked her body. Not you know, maybe it's summer season. Maybe it's hard to ride a donkey to Bethlehem being pregnant. Is that correct? 9 months pregnant, anybody want to sign up for a 300-mile journey on the back of a donkey? Amen? He wrecked her body. She carried something she didn't know how to carry. Amen? Reputation, marriage, body. I ain't going to kid you. This will wreck your body. This will wreck your mind. It'll take your toll. It'll take its toll on you. It'll take its toll worrying about people, being in hospitals, being at the funeral home. It will wreck you when you see people self-destruct, when you see somebody commit suicide, when you bury kids. It will wreck you. It'll wreck you. She was being wrecked. Then guess what? Jesus gets old enough, around 12 years old, she don't keep up with him very well. So, can I preach it like this? Sometimes you misplace your ministry. That is good, but it is true. Sometimes you misplace your ministry. You forget what you're doing. You forget how serious it is. And you go off trying to do something without the main thing. I took him up to the temple. That's what a lot of people do. We take him to the temple and, praise God, we leave him there. And then we get down the road, amen, and we get hanging out with the family and the friends and everybody else, and everything starts falling apart one thing at a time, and then we realize we left something out. Jesus. We forgot the whole purpose. I thought that we was doing it. We're running it like, but we're doing this. We're taking care of people. We're feeding. We're homeless. We're taking care of drug addicts. We're doing church. No, it's Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus in the midst of all that, then we're really not doing nothing. I love that little thing is they went a day's journey away and didn't find Jesus and took them 3 days to go back and find him. God, that's how it is. That's how it is, ain't it? I'm serious. I can get somewhere. I can get away from Jesus. It seems like for a day or so. And it takes me 3 days to get right. Golly, I'm going to just go to the house. Who else wants to preach? I'm serious. Y'all act like, I don't know what you're talking about, friend. Man, I'm telling you. It takes you 3 days to get back. Get your thoughts back, get your words back, get your praise back. Amen. It wouldn't take us nowhere near that time if we went to running back. I think in that little thing it said they went and they started looking through their family and their friends and everybody else. God, if I had a nickel for that at time, I'll just go and look. Oh, have you seen him? Have you seen him? Have you? What would you do? Amen? Well, this is what I'd do with you, if I were you. Some people ain't never been through no fire, ain't never been through no trials, ain't never been through what you're going through, and you're asking them what they would do. When all you got to do is run back to where you left Jesus. Sometimes we can misplace our ministry. We can misplace. Now, some of y'all, are you saying, if you think I mean losing your salvation, no. Absolutely not. I'm talking about just forget what you've been called to do and why you're doing it. Amen? I thought this was really neat. I could probably go on in a lot of that stuff, but I want to show you something. God really put something on my heart, and I was going to kind of finish up with this, is when he picked her, has anybody ever read in the Bible, does anybody know what Mary looks like? Really? There's pictures of her places. I don't know if that's real or not. Matter of fact, does anybody know what Jesus looks like? For real. Ain't that neat how the Bible, it don't tell you how anybody's dressed. Can y'all feel that? And it don't tell you what they look like, and it don't tell you how beautiful or unbeautiful they are, except for a handful of people. And Sunday night I'll probably teach on that a little bit. But wouldn't it be important? Don't you think it might have been important to who Mary was? To say what she looked like? No. So I started thinking. God spoke into my heart this yesterday, and he said, packages really don't matter when it comes to him. Packages don't matter to God. It's the content. See, I brought this Apple Mini because this is probably, and I'm not doing a commercial for Apple i products. I'm not. It's just the only thing that I know is pretty neat at my house. Is they got both right. They got cool packages. Amen? A lot of companies are copying what they do because their packages are posh. Sorry, that's a new word. I looked it up. They're neat. They're compact. They're beautiful. They're sleek. They draw the eye. They're great. I mean, I love them. Amen. I've got an Apple iPhone, an Apple iPad. I love Apple products, and I love their box. And when I get what's in them, I throw the box away. I've got two Apple iPhones, and this iPad is 100 years old. It really doesn't run hardly anything anymore because it's old. All right? I'm not giving y'all a guilt trip. I'm just telling you. But I found that box. I couldn't find the other box. So as sleek as that box is and as nice as it is, I don't know how it survived, but all the other boxes I have, I threw them away. Because I wasn't looking for the box. I was looking for the content. Amen? Because the content is what I like. Amen? And see, what I like about the content is these, are, to me, are the best. Amen? And I like using them because I know how they operate. So I like the content of the box. And I throw away and I'm using the content. If Apple had nice boxes and their content wasn't good, I don't care how good of a box it comes in. I'll give you another illustration. This is one of my favorites. I thought about it the other day. There was a restaurant up in Gatlinburg called Alabama. Y'all ever heard of it? It's closed. One day, me and my wife, I was so excited. I kind of liked the group, but I was thought there's a tour bus involved. Then there's a big meal, and it's nice. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Let's go in and eat. My meal was awful, but it was on some nice plates. and it was in a nice restaurant, and they come with a nice tab. Amen? And my wife, I was like, man, I was going to keep my mouth shut because I'm not a big complainer in the restaurant. I was a Marine. I can just about eat anything. Amen? And survive. So I was like, I got this steak down. I think I ordered a ribeye, and I think I got, like jerky, beef jerky. And I ate it, and I was like, this is terrible. And my wife asked me, how was it? And I'm like, it's okay. And she already knew it was bad. And I said, how is yours? And she said, it's terrible. And hers, and the portions were small. And that's even worse, is to be bad and the portions to be small. So I'm like, then after that, we got to go to Taco Bell. Amen? And you fill up, right? That's my Alabama experience. And not long after that, they closed that place down. And every time I went by there, I'd smile. No wonder. Your box is good. Your box is great. That tour bus is awesome. But your content is terrible. Man? Now here's the other flip side of that. There's a place, now it's closed too, but it's a whole different reason. There's a place called Cherokee Corners, where I grew up. And we go swimming and boating down the Oakwood River, and right up on the hill was a little convenience store. And they had a deli in there. And one day somebody said, you know what you need to do? You need to go in there and you need to get you a turkey sandwich. I said, I'm not big on turkey sandwiches. He said, get you a turkey sandwich. You will absolutely lose your mind. And I was like, challenge accepted. You know? So I went in there, and when I was there, I noticed on their menu that they had cheese sticks too. Now I'm selling tonight. Somebody's going to leave here and eat a big meal. So I walked in there and I said, can I get... I was hungry. Been on like all day. Can I get two turkey sandwiches and an order of cheese sticks? The guy looked at me and goes, two turkey sandwiches? I said, dude, come on, man. I'm a man. Two. He goes, two of them? I was like, make it happen, right? So the guy goes back and I'm standing there, and next thing you know, he comes walking out and he hands me a white paper bag. That's it. No writing, no nothing. White paper bag with grease at the bottom of it. The best kind. Yeah, Terry knows. Look, I'm sitting there. I know what's in the bag. All I'm thinking, listen, back there, all I'm thinking is I hope they didn't let the cheese cook out of the fryer. Never mind. Sorry. So I'm riding. All of a sudden, I open that bag, and guess what's in there? Everything's wrapped in white wrapping. Their packaging, their box, their store. They are awful. They don't know how to advertise. They don't know how to put anything out there. But that sandwich was this tall. There was a half a pound of turkey on that thing, and I went, "Oh my goodness!" And it, is one of them kind that runs down your arm. And you don't care. And I got white wrapper and white bags everywhere, and I'm just trying my best to hold it together. Amen? And guess what? That was 23 years ago. And if they opened that thing up today, I'd be back there going, can I get a turkey sandwich? Right? Because I don't care what their box, I didn't care what their store looked like. It was the content. Amen? Listen, God looked at Mary, and He wasn't looking on the outside. He was looking on the inside. He was looking at the content. He's looking. God is not a man. He does not look on the outside. He looks on the heart of a man. He's looking for your content. Too many times we look on the outside of people, and we're looking at the box that we're looking at, and guess what? We make a judgment on content. God doesn't do that. Let Him change your content. When He picked Mary, she had no motherly experience. She had no motherly experience. 15 or 16 years old, she didn't even have a husband at the time, and He picks her to be the mother of God in the flesh. And 30 years later, she stands on a shoreline and says, whatever He tells you to do, do it. And somebody asks you, can I preach? Let me preach. Somebody would say, well, didn't He wreck your marriage? Yeah, He did for a little bit. But then He got back in the marriage and He made a great marriage out of a marriage that didn't look great. No, I'll preach it like this. See, I had a plan how me and Joseph were going to spend the rest of our lives. Somebody, y'all need to write this down. I had a plan how me and Joseph were going to spend the rest of our lives. And then Jesus got in the middle of it and He wrecked me and He wrecked Joseph. And when He made a wreck out of both of us and put us back together, guess what? Our marriage stood the test of time. Woo! That's good preaching, ain't it? So was it worth it? Yeah. Did He wreck your body? Yeah, He wrecked my body for a while. I went through some tough stuff. But guess what? I'd do it all over again because carrying Jesus was the hardest thing, but it turned out to be the best thing I ever done. And when the day of Pentecost fully came and everybody was in the upper room wondering how it was going to feel to have Jesus on the inside, I told them, I already know it's really, really good. Amen. Well, did He wreck your reputation? If I was about 10 years younger, I'd done kicked the pews over in this place. Yeah, He wrecked it for a little while. But joy, 2,000 years later, my reputation's pretty good. For about 3 years, it was bad. Then about 30 years, it got all right. Then 33 years. But for 2,000 years. When 2,000 years rocks on, and I got my name, somebody said, you had a bad name because you did this and you did that. Guess what? Hey, I used to have a bad name. I used to have a bad deal. But guess what? Jesus changed it. And for a little while, people talked bad about me. But now that 2,000 years have rocked on, things are looking pretty good. I got my name back. I like that song. It says, I got a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. No, I'm not singing, so don't ask. So He wrecked your body, wrecked your reputation, He wrecked your marriage. What else did I say? Was there anything else? I don't remember. Ain't that really cool though? Somebody could ask her, do you ever regret all the stuff you lost? You regret all the things that happened to you, all the things that you had to see, all the failures that you thought you committed, like when you left Him in the temple, when you did tell Him to do that, but when you felt powerless when He died on the cross. Would you change anything? No. You know why I wouldn't change anything? Because He's my Savior. And on the third day, He rose. And I'm a part of the resurrection now because my Son became my Savior. And listen, some of you in here say, man, is it hard being a Christian? Do you regret anything you've had to do? No. I love every minute of it. I love every minute of it. Even the hard stuff. Even standing up in front of caskets and saying stuff about people that I love and my heart be ripped out. I love it. Because one day, I know those people, I'm going to see them again. Amen? So it's hard for the moment, but I know where they're headed. Especially if they're a friend of mine, I've talked to them. Amen? Is it hard to go to the hospitals? No. Sometimes it's, matters when it is. Matters what's going down. When you walk in there, you usually get ministered to. Amen? Usually walk in there and hear some funny stuff too. Amen? Amen? Matters if the drug doctor's been in there yet already. Amen? Then you get to find out if people really love you or not. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We're going to look back into this thing. Y'all stand as they come get a song. We're going to look back into this on Sunday night about this package thing. I'm going to get into it a little bit more. If you'll allow me. But I hope this has edified you this evening. And hopefully it's encouraged some of you about your ministry, about where you're at in ministry. And if you're in this church and you don't have a title,
If you don't have a title, like saying, I'm a in this ministry, then you're in flat top independent ministry. You've got a position. And you get busy doing something in this church and serving in this church, and eventually God will expose you to the next thing He wants you to do, either here or wherever He wants you to do it. Amen? We've got all kinds of work for y'all to do. Matter of fact, this Friday morning, we're going to get up at 8:30 and we're going to go feed some homeless. Is that correct, Rebecca? From meet here at 8:30. That's pretty cool. So if you want to go take part of that, you're more than welcome to. Now, if we fill the van up, I'm driving the van. If we fill it up, you'll have to follow us. All right? 183.